you would assume that people will jump to opportunity to have no limitations whatsoever, so they can come at home late at night and the elevator will take them to the high floor without them giving a sweat walking the stairs. But surprisingly, people were very scared of so-called unmanned magic box because they didn't trust the machine will take care of them the same way as the operators did. Gradually, the inventors realized that it's not about the invention itself that is not useful because it really addressed one of the biggest needs, but it was more about people easing in to using it. So they realized this human aspect was important. So what they did, they decided to introduce automated female voice in the elevator that would tell people that going up, going down, to build this familiarity. Things happen instantaneously, but we tend to forget that our bodies are not wired this way. They act on a very primal level, and they sole goal is to keep us safe and to keep us surviving. Sometimes this would be at odds with our own ambitions and aspirations.
Welcome to Humanly, podcast about the extraordinary ideas and ordinary people. Stories that we tell ourselves to make sense of the world around us. Isn't that precisely what makes us human? My name is Paula and I'm a Renaissance soul. I'm passionate about concepts, but most importantly, how they evolve when shared with other people. You'll hear about what I learn daily through books, people, experiences, in a series of solo episodes and interviews. Welcome on board. Glad to have you here, fellow human.
Hello, creators. Welcome in the new year. It's been a while that we spoke last time. And you might remember what I shared with you in the last episode when I talked about having a prolonged break while recording. This time, I was giving myself time to find myself in the right headspace to record because I've been through a lot end of last year and beginning of this year. And I found that this episode might be about my experience of embracing change, because last 2 months it's been all about change for me. And I think I'm not alone in this, because we find ourselves in a reality where there's lots of uncertainty, there's recession, and lots of people are losing jobs, trying to figure out their lives. So I thought, you know, I'd chip in, I'll share my 2 cents here, what I learned through my process. Coming back to the topic of today's conversation, change. So I've been mainly talking about 2 things. First, this is my personal process of actually changing countries and moving around. Because I've been an expat for the past couple of years. I lived in Egypt and then for Japan for the past 4 years. And now I had a chance to move to US. So I have a couple of afterthoughts about, you know, approaching this particular life-changing event. But also I have a couple of wisdom nuggets from the book that I really enjoyed and that had quite an impact on me while navigating my own personal challenges. The book is entitled Built for Tomorrow by Jason Pfeiffer. So he's a chief editor of the Entrepreneur magazine, and he's a journalist who's been covering startups and change at large. And he came up with a really interesting formula on how to approach change in your daily life. So it doesn't only apply to business, startups that thrive in uncertainty, but your personal life. So I think you enjoy listening about the process. So let's kick off with a quote that really resonated with me and sums up pretty well my own reflections on change. So here it goes. I'm on a hunt for who I'm yet to become. More often than not, we share the belief that we're pretty same at the core of our being. That if we keep ourselves safe, if we keep ourselves in the same place, same circumstances, surrounded by familiar faces, we'll stay the same. The truth is that if whether we want it or not, you know, we experience things on a small scale. And the small scale of events actually impact our perspective, makes us nudge, you know, in a slightly different direction. Even if you don't never left your hometown, even if you've been doing the same job for the past decade, your perspective on things changes with each experience that adds to it. It's really silly of us to think that the world should stay the same. All comes down to our primal need for survival. We want to keep ourselves safe, being able to exactly predict what can happen to us, but it can also keep us stuck. If we cling to sameness, we stop ourselves from experiencing life to its fullest and from pushing ourselves to our limits to really get to know who we are at our core. Personally, I'm someone who loves change, who's addicted to change. As you might assume, it has its advantages and disadvantages. But even if you're not moving, the world moves around you. So regardless, you know, what's your tolerance towards change, the world is changing around you and you'd better be prepared for it. I had an interesting reflection around perspective on change when aging. No wonder that we're more inclined to make changes when we're young, relatively young. When you're in your 20s, okay, you have less responsibilities, you know, proving to the world that you made it. There's more social acceptance towards you exploring, towards you experimenting. And I think it helps you to really be an experience, no strings attached. So maybe you're less self-aware or you're less aware of the risks that you're actually taking because you think you have nothing to lose. You don't have yet assets you collected. Your career is at really early stages, so you have nothing to lose. And this propels you to move forward and to change often. And I think I see 20s basically as this like big sandbox or playground that you can, you know, experiment with different scenarios, go to different places, try out different even personalities just to see who you are, because this is also the time when we feel quite insecure about ourselves, who we are, what's our belief system, what's important for us. And even when I think about myself, so I took every opportunity to test myself. So I went to study to the biggest city in Poland, Warsaw. And then whenever I had a chance to travel, I didn't make money. So I was just using all the opportunities to travel cheap, travel on the budget in Europe and go for some exchange, student exchange. And then when I felt more confident traveling, I would venture further out of Europe. But I somehow had this, you know, belief that of course there was unknown. And of course, especially towards mid-20s, there were people who were settling down. There were people who had their things figured out. And I felt maybe slightly envious of them. But still, I felt that there's unknown, but there's more to gain than to lose. So I kept going. But without maybe fully realizing what I'm risking. Because change always sounded more fascinating than being stagnant and staying in the same place that I've been. But now, when I'm in my early 30s, that's really interesting to observe how your perspective changes. And maybe it has something to do with the experience of pandemics, where we really learned to enjoy and appreciate the comfort of our homes. I'm guilty of that too. And I don't find it necessarily a bad thing, because I mentioned one episodes before that I'm a combination of highly sensitive person and high sensation seeking person. So it's always a balance for me to have a place where I can go fully cave mode, where I create and where I don't see people and I really ground myself from all the stimulations around. But then once my mojo is back, I want to get out into the world and experience things. But I certainly felt quite comfortable in pandemics. But I think it has also something to do with me living in Japan for the past 4 years. Japan is quite an experience, very much different from what you've seen. If you come from like a Western world or Europe, it's completely different reality. And it took me some time, and it's interesting. Now when I moved to US literally 3 weeks ago, I was trying to remember my beginnings in Japan, because I started feeling nostalgic about things that I lost and maybe being overwhelmed with all the differences that I had to embrace. But the truth is, when I moved to Japan, I experienced the very same thing. So it made me wonder, it's not about place. It's not about the type of change you're experiencing, whether it's big or small. It's just about, it's the cycle on repeat, the very same process you repeat anytime something changes. You know, why don't we prepare ourselves for it, become aware of the whole process, and just, you know, like go through all the stages, being more aware of what's going on with us. The example of Japan. It's been very different because there's a language barrier, there's a different social etiquette of how you should behave, because there is a very predetermined way of how you should behave depending on the context, if it's a work context, if it's a metro context. At the end of the day, you live in a really comfortable bubble because it's a really safe country. You can leave your laptop in a coffee shop and leave without worrying that it will go missing. You know, you can walk. I think Japan was one of the first countries where I could just, you know, go to some dark back alley when walking back home, and I would have my earphones in, listening to music, not having a then worry about someone following me or something, you know, fishy happening to me. So this is this kind of, you know, level of comfort. But then again, the reason why I left Japan is that I wanted to be in a place where life thrives in a way that I was missing maybe more creative aspects of things, cultural events happening around me, where I can understand the language, where I can connect with people on a deeper level, not to branch out too much. So when you're in your 30s and maybe now after pandemic, the change felt different. It didn't feel that exhilarating when it materialized in front of my eyes, because I think it's when your primal instincts actually kick in and try to protect you from all the bad that might happen. I won't go into details on how my adaptation looked like, but it was a completely different experience. I moved to California in the time of big floods. It was a bit gloomy. It was a completely different reality. So let's say the sense of safety I would feel in Japan, where I could be completely, in a way, like oblivious of the world, this is not something I can, this is not the strategy I can implement here, let's say it this way. But I was more struck by my own reaction when I last moved to a different country. It was like 5 years ago or 4 years ago. It felt difficult. So the process was exactly the same, but like your body, your mind somehow erases the memory. I want to mention the process that was outlined by Jason Pfeiffer in his book Built for Tomorrow, because I found myself in all the stages, and actually I still haven't gone through the whole journey, but it was fun for me to relate to what he was describing, and I think you'll relate to it too. So according to Jason, the first thing that happens when the change strikes is first, we panic. We panic because we fixate on the things that we lose. So we extrapolate the loss. So instead of reminding yourself of why you made the decision to change something in your life, something big or small, you know, you revert back in your head and you think, oh, I lost this. Like, let's say in my example here in this country, okay, I moved to US, so maybe I won't be having the same level of convenience living in the city, or I won't feel that safe anymore. And your mind is stuck in this loop. So what Jason recommends is to instead focus on what has been gained by this change. So you need to come back to your why. Why did you decide to make a change in the first place? Maybe let's go with an example of, because now I moved to US, so you know, the first thing on the agenda that hits the headlines is the massive layoffs lots of people face right now. So this is a huge crashing change. What happens here is that people tie their identity with the job they're doing. So they identify themselves with what they're doing on a daily basis. It's fair to say that it's pretty natural feeling because work consumes most of our free time, but it traps us in a way, because if we limit ourselves only to our job title, you know, if we lose the job, who are we at the end? That's an enormous opportunity when we get fired or when we decide to quit, to actually reflect and think, what's our real purpose? What's our why? If we limit ourselves to thinking, oh, I'm a marketing manager, or oh, I'm a product manager. So if you lose your job, you lose your identity. You don't know who you are, and you're in a way lost in the world, because if we don't do your job, if you're not your job, then who are you? But I think when we stop fixating on a loss, what we left behind, we can really, you know, it can be an extraordinary journey inwards to really assess our values, assess our belief systems, to get to the core of what's foundation for you doing things on a daily basis. So again, it's more about why you do things in daily life and not what you do in your life. So I think what he recommends is to look at your kernel of truth. If you're an anchor in a TV, a journalist, you might say that if you focus on a what, you would say, oh, I am an anchor. I'm doing like televised interviews. I'm doing televised interviews, or I deliver news to people. But if you think about your why, you can completely flip it on its head and think that you entertain people telling stories about the world. You connect with people while sharing news about the world. And that changes your perspective, because then augment the pool of possibilities of what you could be doing. So you don't need to limit yourself to being an anchor or journalist on TV. You can start your own YouTube channel. You can become an activist, and you can share news through different mediums, through different modalities. So it doesn't have to be limited to a TV as a medium. Jason advises us to look closely at the challenges that we overcame. So when we think about our experience so far, so the last time we made change, so what challenges we overcame? So what we started with and what we gained from this experience when change happened. Because this allows you to give yourself credit for lessons learned and for gaining new skills, because when you overcome a challenge, you learn something new about yourself, and then it equips you with more skills and more awareness. What did you learn that you didn't know before? Because this adds to your perspective. So wrapping up the first stage of panic, the most important takeaway is to force yourself to think about what has been gained, what challenges you're overcoming, what you're learning about yourself, and what's your why for doing things. So then we gradually move to a next stage that is called adapting. So when we feel more comfortable in a new scenario, in a new city, we know our favorite cafes, coffee shops, we make some friends, then we feel slightly more comfortable in a new reality. But we still feel unsure, we still feel shaken, and we still maybe grow nostalgic about things that we left behind. So what he recommends is to be instigator of change. There's a change that you've been forced to, and there's a change that you consciously make yourself. So if we're talking about the change that was forced upon you, so then instead of passively watching the change happening around you, you can actually be instigator of change, meaning that you can think 5 steps ahead, you know, of what opportunities can be created with this particular change. We can think of what you actually didn't like about the previous state of affairs. What you didn't like about the status quo, because that's your chance, that's your biggest chance to change it where things are shaky. Like when you think about investments, people say that yes, recession is bad, it's unpredictable, lots of people experience loss, but it's also a great opportunity for people to buy really, you know, great assets because of this uncertainty, because of the change. Maybe the prices go down. Let's say when we think of real estate properties, prices might go down and you might end up buying a property that has been completely out of your budget just because we're in the recession. You can think the same way about your status quo. If you were not the one instigating the change, but instead the change has come upon you, you can think of how to use it to your advantage. So thinking like 5 steps ahead, how can I change, respond to this change by modifying things that were not working to my advantage. Because this way, you'll have more control over things happening to you, and you won't be just waiting for things to crash and burn and then, you know, blame it on someone else. And then next stage we find ourselves in is called new normal. So that's when we feel maybe more comfortable in the reality and we can call it our home. But to help ourselves really feel at ease, we should bring something familiar from the past into the present. So that's called a bridge of familiarity. So in my case, let's say I'm in a completely new country with completely different like social etiquettes. And to make myself feel more at ease, I would want to maybe go and find some dance classes, dance communities around me, because in Tokyo, I had a really nice Zumba classes or like salsa classes. So me finding equivalent of this in a new place would make me feel more reassured and more at home. That's exactly what this bridge of familiarity is to let you ease in into the new situation. Our primal instincts kick in and they want to find new footing in something that feels cozy, in something that feels predictable, something that feels some sort of sameness that we experience in our life. But Jason warns us not to get too cozy in this as our final destination. So this new normal is not our final destination. It's some milestone that we hit that we will stay in for a while. There'll be a time that we'll have to jump again because change is coming. So I really like the example he brought up about how automatic elevators came to be. So a bit of a tangent here. He's actually a history geek. He shares lots of interesting anecdotes about different inventions throughout history, like how gradually we grew to love certain inventions because, as you may guess it by now, every invention experienced some sort of tension at the beginning because people were not familiar with it. People were staying wary. So same thing applied to automatic elevators. So there was a time where elevators were operated by people. So there'll be always someone inside navigating the elevator from floor to floor, but they would work on shifts. So their shift would finish, let's say, 5 p.m. And then it would be impossible for tenants of the building to use the elevator. They would have to walk the stairs. So the invention that came quite naturally was unmanned elevators, so automatic elevators, because you would assume that people will jump to opportunity to have no limitations whatsoever, so they can come at home late at night and the elevator will take them to the high floor without them giving a sweat walking the stairs. But surprisingly, people were very scared of so-called unmanned magic box because they didn't trust the machine will take care of them the same way as the operators did. So there was a huge opposition towards the elevators. People would be scared to get on. Gradually, the inventors realized that it's not about the invention itself that is not useful because it really addressed one of the biggest needs, but it was more about people easing in to using it. So they realized this human aspect was important. So what they did, they decided to introduce automated female voice in the elevator that would tell people that going up, going down, to build this familiarity. So this voice represents the operator and people would feel more reassured that they're being taken care of. So that's one of the examples of this, you know, introducing familiarity to people's life so they can ease into the new change. I found it quite funny. And same thing was for cars. When people were transitioning from horses to cars, initially cars were branded as better than horses, as superior to horses because of more comfort, more speed, from getting you from place A to B. But people were rebelling against abandoning their horses because they had an attachment with their animals. So what happened when you think of terminology that we use about cars today? So starting from brands like Mustang or horsepower, it all comes down to this terminology that was familiar when it comes to horse riding. So that's also like quite a funny anecdote that he shared about it. But finally, when we are accustomed to this new normal, we get to the stage when we feel like we wouldn't ever like to go back to think to how things used to be. Even me thinking about Japan, about all these all these things I had to accept about maybe language barrier, about how things are done in like social scenarios. I grew to love things that were comfortable and put a blind eye on things that I found annoying at the beginning. So when you find yourself in this last stage of you wouldn't go back to how things are used to, you need to stay alert because that means yet again you're in your comfort zone and it will be hard for you to navigate next change that's coming. And you can be sure as hell that the change is right around the corner. So I think what's helpful is to be aware that this cycle, it never ends. It just keeps on repeat. So whenever you're closing up in your reality, there's a change that hits. And you would, again, revert to your panic stage. I think what brings comfort is this awareness that it all comes in stages and things will gradually stabilize for yourself and you will gain something from this experience. You will push yourself to the limits that you were not aware of before. What I liked about this book is, first of all, yes, it's stuffed with really juicy details, like anecdotes from history, like how humanity navigated change and growth and prosperity. Trust me, we take some things for granted that we have now, like electricity, like comfort that we have. It all started with someone who actually instigated the change, with someone who navigated the huge opposition from people who like to stay safe, who like to stay in their comfort zone. When you put things in perspective, it kind of starts becoming exciting, possibilities that change can bring. So next time when the change is forced upon you, or when you are instigator of change, you change something in your life, just be aware of this whole stages of change, so you don't end up questioning your choices in a way that you made a change and suddenly you start panicking, and then you feel like maybe I made a mistake. And trust me, that's your primal instinct talking. And that's when you know that you're in the first stage of embracing the change. Just to maybe reiterate the stages so that we're aware of it. So first stage is the panic stage. And that's when we should focus on what can be gained instead of fixating on what we've lost. And that's also a chance for us to actually assess what's our why. Because if you have the system of belief and you have values that you live by, you can put your decisions into perspective so that you don't fixate on what you're doing as a profession, let's say, in your life, but instead you just filter your decision through the set of values, and then you know if you're on track or not. And then we go to the stage of adapting. So that's when you actually can challenge the status quo. That's a great opportunity to go and change what you didn't like about the previous state of affairs and be a couple of steps ahead. So you change before you're forced to change, because then you can gain something. And then we have a new normal where we can ease ourselves into new reality by building a bridge of familiarity. And then we have a stage of we wouldn't go back. So that's the most comfortable stage. But it's nice to keep in mind that another change is right around the corner. Personally, I really enjoy the process because it made me more self-aware of what I was personally going through. It's been only 4 weeks in, and I think I'm somewhere in adapting stage. By simply being aware of how your body responds, of how your brain responds to fast pace, to change, to different stimulants, you can understand yourself better, and you can give yourself time to adapt, because things happen instantaneously. But we tend to forget that our bodies are not wired this way. They act on a very primal level, and the sole goal is to keep us safe and to keep us surviving. Sometimes this would be at odds with our own ambitions and aspirations. So the best way to go about it is to remind yourself of this 5-stage change process so that you know which stage you're at, and you can adjust yourself to it, and you can give yourself time. Because yeah, there's a lot to gain. There's a lot to get to know about yourself. If you instigate the change, you are a couple of steps ahead of the change, because you're playing with it. You're not a passive observer of what's happening to you, but rather you try to co-create with it on a partnership level. Regardless if you're facing a job change, because, or if you're moving to a new country, city like me, what's important is to give yourself credit for really seizing this opportunity to test yourself and maybe rebrand yourself as a human, because we might have some core fixed values we live by, but I think they also evolve over time and they become more nuanced. But okay, at the core level, they stay more or less in broad strokes the same. But what we're doing, so again, the difference between why and what. So what we're doing according to these life values will change over time. And I think it's exciting because you discover new things about yourself, you learn new skills, and these decisions might take you to really exciting places you never dreamt about. You don't have to be a change junkie like me to learn to embrace change, because change is inevitable and it will come and get you. It's not as bad as it sounds. As long as you're aware of it, as long as you're ahead of the game, you'll crush it. You know, on that note, I wanted to wish you a eventful year of change, year of growth, so that you can look back at yourself and pat yourself on the back for the things you've accomplished, for the things you learned about yourself, because it's not only about accomplishments in the level of success, but I think failure is also part of exploration, because you can eliminate things from your life that don't align with you. Just embrace what's coming, stay hopeful, and explore what's to explore. Yeah, I'll go back to my new reality and try to adapt as much as I can and enjoy the process. And I'll keep you posted on where I'm at with this. But for now, I hope that the process that I shared with you would be helpful for you to put things into perspective and to be less hard on yourself. And I'll see you in the next episode. Have a great one. See you guys. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully something piqued your interest in today's episode and maybe stirred a bit of flow in your life. If you wanted to share your experiences or simply say hi, feel free to send me a message via email, humanly.space@gmail.com, or just drop by to my Instagram account, humanly.space, that I'll be sharing in my show notes. Keep flowing. See you next episode.